remains hidden to science itself, hidden and unquestioned. The new science does not elucidate the conditions and the limits of its evidence, validity, and method. It does not elucidate its inherent historical denominator. It remains unaware of its own foundation, and it is therefore unable to recognize its servitude, unable to free itself from the ends set and given to science by the pre-given empirical reality. I should like to stress again, because these formulations can be easily misunderstood, that it is not a sociological relation which is here established between an empirical reality and the pure science which develops in this empirical reality. Husserl's concept goes much farther. He maintains that the empirical reality is the framework and dimension in which the pure scientific concepts develop. In other words, the empirical reality constitutes, in a specific sense, the very concepts which science believes are pure theoretical concepts. Before I go on with Husserl's interpretation of this development, I would like to reformulate and to extend his thesis in a way which may bring out its provocative implications. What happens in the developing relations between science and the empirical reality is the abrogation of the transcendence of reason. Reason loses its philosophical power and its scientific right to define and project ideas and modes of being beyond and against those established by the prevailing reality. I say beyond the empirical reality, not in any metaphysical but in a historical sense, namely in the sense of projecting essentially different historical alternatives. Now back to Husserl's interpretation. The new science, by which he understands mainly Galilean science, establishes a rational, infinite universe of being. I follow his worlds here literally, systematically organized and defined by science itself. Page 471. Within this universe, every object becomes accessible to knowledge, not incidentally in its contingent particular occurrence, but necessarily in its very essence. Footnote 5. Text. Thus, it becomes object of scientific knowledge, not as this individual object, but as exemplification of general objectivity. The falling feather as res extensa in motion. Footnote 6. Text. That is to say, the concrete and particular object, the Aristotelian totality, is no longer the Wesen, the essence. Platonism supersedes Aristotelianism, not only in physics but in the very concept of scientific rationality. A concomitant with this de-individualization, which is the prerequisite for the quantification of the scientific universe, is the familiar reduction of secondary to primary qualities, devaluation of the inexorably individual sense experience as non-rational. Footnote 7, text. As a result of this twofold process, reality is now idealized into a mathematical manifold. Everything which is mathematically demonstrated with the evidence of universal validity as a pure form, reine Gestalt, now belongs to the true reality of nature. Footnote 8, text. But, and here is the great gap which separates the new science from its classical original. In contrast to the ideational forms of Plato, the ideational form of mathematical physics are freed from any substantive connection which other than mathematical ends. The ideational realm of Galilean science no longer includes the moral, aesthetic, political forms, the ideas of Plato, and separated from this realm, science develops now as an absolute, in the literal sense, no matter how relative within its own realm it may be, absolved from its own pre-scientific and non-scientific conditions and foundations. According to Husserl, the absolute evidence of mathematics, which, as we shall see, we question, was for Galileo so self-evident that he never asked for the actual foundation of its validity, for the validating ground of this evidence and of its extension to the whole of nature. Thus, the validation of the new science remained in the dark. Its own basic never became the theme of scientific inquiry. Science contained an unmastered, unscientific foundation. This is the utmost importance for the validity of science itself, because the relation between science and the pre-scientific empirical reality is for Husserl not an external one, but one which affects the very structure and meaning of the scientific concept themselves. Now, according to Husserl, where is this pre-scientific validating ground of mathematical science? It is originally in geometry as the art of measuring, Messkunst, with its specific means and possibilities. Footnote 9, text. This art of measuring in the empirical reality promised and indeed achieved the progressive calculability of nature, subjecting nature to the ever more exact foresight in mastering and using nature. Page 472. Foresight, Voraussicht, perhaps better translated as projection and valid rational anticipation. Foresight and anticipation, rational anticipation, can then guide the practical orientation in and the transformation of the empirical Lebenswelt without, however, and this is decisive, setting or defining or changing the goals and ends of this transformation. Geometry can and does furnish, and the same holds true for the extension of geometry, mathematics, the methods, and ever more exact, ever more calculable approaches for the transformation and extension of the established Lebenswelt, but remains forever incapable of defining, anticipating, or changing. By its own concepts, the ends and objectives of this transformation, in its method and concept, the new science is essentially no transcendent. This is what I considered as Husserl's key sentence. Science leaves the Lebenswelt in its essential structure, in its own concrete causality, unchanged. Footnote 10, text. As to the interpretation of this paradoxical and provocative thesis, so obviously paradoxical since we are used to seeing in science one of the most dynamic forces in the world, in my view, what is at stake is not the more or less external relation between science and society, but the internal conceptual structure of science itself. Its pure theory and method, which Husserl now reveals in their essential historicity, Geschichtlichkeit, in their commitment to the specific historical project in which they originated. Footnote 11, text. Pure science retains, aufgehoben, to use Hegel's term now, the practice out of which it arose, and it contains the ends and values established by this practice. The empirical reality thus performs the sinngebende Leistung, constituent act. It is constitutive of scientific truth and validity. Science is Aufhebung der Lebenswelt. 1. Inasmuch as science cancels the data and truth of immediate experience. 2. Inasmuch as science preserves the data and truth of experience, but 3. preserves them in a higher form, namely in the additional idealized form of universal validity. And this threefold process takes place in the scientific abstraction. The quantified ideational forms are abstracted from the concrete qualities of the empirical reality, but the latter remains operative in the very concept and in the direction in which the scientific abstraction moves. Page 473. In this way, the pre-scientific, pre-given empirical reality enters the scientific enterprise itself and makes it a specific project within the pre-established general project of the empirical reality. However, the abstract, ideational, mathematical form into which science transforms the empirical conceals this historical relation. The Ideenkleid, the additional ideal veil of mathematics and the mathematical physics represents and at the same time disguises the empirical reality and leads us to take the true being that which is only a method. Footnote 12, text. This is perhaps the most effective and lasting mystification in the history of Western thought. What is actually only one method appears as the true reality, but a reality with a telos of its own. The mathematical ideation, which all its exactness, calculability, foresight leaves a void, Leerstelle, because the objectives and ends of the calculability and anticipation are not scientifically determined. This void can thus be filled by whatever specific end the empirical reality provides, the only condition being that it is within the range of scientific method. This is the famous neutrality of pure science, which here reveals itself as an illusion because the neutrality disguises in the mathematically ideational form the essential relation to the pre-given empirical reality. In Husserl's term, the objective a priori of science itself stands under a hidden empirical a priori, the so-called lebensweltliche a priori. Footnote 13, text. Moreover, as long as this empirical a priori remains hidden and unexamined, scientific rationality itself contains its inner and own irrational core which it cannot master. According to Husserl, modern science thus operates like a machine which everyone can learn to handle without necessarily understanding the inner necessity and possibility of its operation. Footnote 14. Text. In other words, pure science has an inherent instrumental character prior to all specific application. The logos of pure science is technology and is thus essentially dependent on external ends. This introduces the irrational into science, and science cannot overcome its irrationality as long as it remains hidden from science. In Husserl's words, reason is reason only as a manifest reason, offenbare Vernunft, and reason knows itself as reason only if it has become manifest. Footnote 15, text. Inasmuch as reason remains non-manifest in science, scientific rationality is not yet fully rationality of science. How can reason become conscious of itself? Page 474. Husserl proposes to break the mystification inherent in modern science by a phenomenological analysis, which is in a literal sense a therapeutic method. Therapeutic in the sense that it is to get behind the mystifying concepts and methods of science and to uncover the constitutive lebensweltliche a priori under which all scientific a priori stands. This is to Husserl's first a methodological problem. The pre-given empirical reality as a whole must become the object of the philosophical analysis, otherwise the a priori prior to the scientific, a priori could never become to light. But obviously, philosophy itself is part of this empirical reality, and philosophy itself stands under a priori of the empirical reality. The circle is to be broken by a dual phenomenological reduction, suspension, epoch. First, the suspension of the objective a priori, the suspension of scientific truth and validity. Secondly, the suspension of the lebensweltliche a priori of the doxa and its validity.